If you remember, Daniel was taken captive in his young life. Him and his three friends, remember their names, that their names were actually changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're taken captive in the first ransack of Jerusalem, and they're taken out. It's probably around, you know, the year 600 BC. They're taken captive. They're brought back to Babylon. And we talked about last week how what these nations would do when they would conquer other nations is they would come in and they would take the choicest of the kids, and they would bring them back to their homeland, to their nation, and they would train them with their thought process. They would train them with the way they did things, the way they related to culture, the gods that they worshipped. And that's what happens with Daniel. He's brought out probably about 15 years old, and he's brought back to Babylon, you know, because they saw something in him that he was a very smart young man, along with his other friends and many others. There's only four mentioned, Daniel and his three friends, but there were many others that came out in these captivities. So they would train them in their own thought process, in their own way of thinking, in their own way of doing things, in their own ways of worshiping their gods and in their own traditions. So Daniel comes out. And if you remember, Daniel's heart was for the living God, even though his nation was under judgment. Remember what I talked about, that, you know, sometimes we wonder, Lord, how can you let these things happen in our lives? Because we're your people. We're the ones who love you. We're the ones who worship you. We're the ones who are trying to live for you, at least. How do you let these different things happen in our lives? Now, can you imagine what Daniel and his three friends are going through? Their thought process. Can you imagine what they're thinking as they know the true and the living God, and their nation's being is crumbling and being destroyed as the Babylonians are coming in and taking over, and then they're bringing them back captive as slaves to be retrained in their way of thinking. And remember, I drew the analogy last week, is that's what happens when we go out into the world. You know, the Bible says we need to renew our minds with the Word of God. And you hear me talk about this all the time. You know, Christians are brainwashed. This one's brain. You guys are brainwashed, this and that and everything else. Everybody's brainwashed by something. Everybody's going to believe something in their minds. Okay? Everybody is. Whether it's their upbringing, whether it's, you know, their pocketbooks, whatever it is. They're brainwashed by some school of thought. Now, if you choose to believe that the Word of God is the Word of God, the Bible, God tells you straight up, these are my thoughts, this is the way I think, this is my character, I want you to be like me, that's why you were created, so you need to renew your mind to think like me, to live like me, to be like my son, Jesus Christ, because that's why you were created, to bring him glory, to reflect his image, right? Now, and if that's true, that's what we need to be striving for as Christians. So these young people are taken out and they're being reprogrammed. Their thought process is being adjusted at this time. Daniel holds true to the true and the living God. And remember the whole dietary thing. If you were here last week, we talked about this. If you were a Jewish young man, there were certain things that you could eat. There were certain things that you shouldn't eat. Okay? Kosher. Still around today. Okay? Daniel says, you know what? To the chief of the rulers who was appointed to these young men to make sure that they were trained in the ways of the Babylonians, he says to them, well, you know, we know what you're trying to do, but can we still eat the things that our God says that we should eat? And this guy's freaked out. He goes, well, wait a minute. I have to bring you guys before the king in 3 years. Okay? You guys need to be trained in mind, body, soul, spirit. All right? You need to be thinking their ways. You need to look healthy. You need to, you know, be what they want you to be. And if you're not, then you're going to cost me my life, Daniel. Okay? So Daniel says, listen, let's put a test out there. Daniel says, okay, I understand, you know, we don't want you to die by not doing your job. All right? So this is what we'll do. Give us 10 days. Give us 10 days, we'll eat pulse, which is basically vegetables, all right, and fruits. We'll eat pulse, let the other, you know, the other kids that are being trained, let them eat whatever they want, the meat and the this and the that from the king's table, And then after 10 days, come and look at the way we look and see if we're nourished. So Daniel puts God to the test. Okay? Daniel's trusting in the living God. So what happens? After the 10 days, they come back before this magistrate, right? And they come before him. And what do they see? They see that Daniel and his friends are in better shape, more healthy than the other kids being trained and being able to eat from the king's table. Daniel trusted in the living God. And remember I talked about last week, if you honor God, God will honor you. If you trust God's word, if you lean on the scriptures, even if it's difficult, even if it's hard, even if you sometimes can't see and can't comprehend and don't understand, when you trust the scriptures and you know what? Let God be the God of his word, all right? If we say we believe this book, let's trust the word of God and then see if God will come through. He will never deny himself. He can't deny his word. He will never do that. God cannot lie. So Daniel trusts in the living God. He trusts his word. At the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his friends are healthy. They look better than the other kids. And this is where we pick it up in Daniel chapter 2. Now remember, Daniel's about 15 years old. He continues through the book of Daniel to about 85 years old. You can see toward the end of Daniel, the end of his life. And God used him that whole time frame. It says, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep break from him. So we have this ruler, this Babylonian king named Nebuchadnezzar. People don't name their many kids Nebuchadnezzar for some reason. It's hard to pronounce. But we have this king Nebuchadnezzar, okay? He dreams a dream. He has all his cohorts, his astrologers, the Chaldeans who were about the history and all this stuff. He has all of his cohorts around him. He gets a little freaked out by this dream. But before we get into chapter 2 a little, I just want to give you a little background. Chapter 2 of Daniel has been called the backbone to Bible prophecy. Okay? This is where all the debate from the book of Daniel comes in. It starts right here with chapter 2. Because Daniel, at about 600 BC, okay, predicts and tells the future for all the kingdoms of the world until the end, until the second coming of Christ. So that's why the book of Daniel has been torn apart by so-called higher criticism and scholars and all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. Because they say there's no way Daniel could have been written at that time. Because Daniel predicts with perfect accuracy the next kingdom that's going to come, which is the Medes and the Persians. Then he predicts with perfect accuracy the kingdom that comes after that, which is the Greeks. Then he predicts with perfect accuracy the kingdom that's going to come after that, which are the Romans. Then he predicts with perfect accuracy the fact that the Roman Empire was never fully destroyed. It just kind of dissolved and just mingled in the nations of the world. And, you know, many political systems still use the structure of the Roman Empire. Okay? And he predicts these things with perfect accuracy, 600 BC, before they happen. And that's why they say, there's no way Daniel was written at that time, when he said it was written. Because no one can tell the future. Well, unless there's a God in heaven. All right? Now, if you do any study, if you do any archaeological background study, so on and so forth, okay, it's been proven that Daniel was written when it was written, all right? I don't have time to get into all that evidence, but do a little study on your own. We got to move on. But it's been proven archaeologically, okay, that Daniel was written at the time Daniel says it was written. And that's why there's so many shots at the book of Daniel. And I talked about this a little bit on Wednesday. You know, when people start to doubt the stories in the Bible, when was Daniel written? You mean to tell me Adam and Eve and Noah and a boat and all this stuff? And come on, Moses and a burning bush and all. Listen, let Jesus do the fighting for you, okay? Bring the argument to Jesus Christ, because he's what the whole book is all about. Remember Jesus said on one occasion, you guys search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. The scriptures point to me, right? He says everything written in the Old Testament was written about me. That's why the Old Testament was written. And let Jesus do the fighting for you. Let Jesus do the arguing for you. So when people try to come to you and they try to say, Adam and Eve, come on. Noah, a boat, Two animals? How do you fit them all on there? Well, it's been proven scientifically that that can happen, by the way. That's a study for another day. Bring the argument to Jesus Christ. Jonah, a whale, blah, blah, blah. Come on. You guys are soft. Bring the argument to Jesus Christ. Jesus talked about Adam and Eve. He says in the beginning, God made them two, male and female, just two. There wasn't other people running around and, you know, Adam and Eve are just a picture of the human race and all that stuff. Absolutely not. The Bible talks about from two people, God made all the nations of the world. Jesus talked about that. Jesus talked about Jonah and the whale. He says, you want a sign? No sign's going to be given to you except the sign of Jonah. Remember, as Jonah was in the belly 3 days and three nights, the belly of the whale, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Jesus believed in Jonah, okay? Moses, the burning bush, Jesus talked about it. He says, I am the I am that Moses talked about. Bring the argument to Jesus Christ. Jesus talked about Daniel. He called him a prophet, a seer. All right? Bring the argument to Jesus Christ. Let him do the argument for you. You know what I'm saying? When people try to attack the Bible and attack your belief system, you know what? You can do the best you can to answer those questions. But the Bible says that people that don't know God are spiritually discerned. They can't understand the things of God. You got to get them saved before they can start to see things the way God sees them. Bring the argument to Jesus Christ. All right? Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, this ruler, this king, this dream kind of freaks him out, okay? Verse 2, then the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. Now listen, here's scripture through the ears of the original hearers, okay? By the way, if there's anybody in the church and they want to know about prophecy, tell them Pastor Matt's doing Daniel. We will get more people to come to the 8. By the way, it worked. Doing the 8 did free up more people for the 9:30, and the 11:30 was a little looser, so it did work. But here's scripture through the years of the original hearers, okay? Nebuchadnezzar has his cabinet, okay? He has his soothsayers. It's no different in today's day and age. You see, these people, they're archaic. Magicians, sorcerers, fortune tellers, come on. Listen, do you know the kings of the earth now still have people that they surround themselves with the same kind of people? Yeah. People, you know, people wake up in the morning, okay, higher ups in different lands and different kingdoms, and the way they tell the way their day is going to go is by their horoscope in the paper. Seriously. They do. And then they advise people and they give their own thought process on the way that things should go. This is what Nebuchadnezzar had. He had his board there, he had his cabinet, he had his magicians, he had all these people around him because he has this dream and he's so afraid in this dream, he calls all of his leadership together and he goes, I need your help here. Let's look who he called for. The king commanded the magicians, astrologers, right? The sorcerers, the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans were those who knew about ancient history, so on and so forth. They were the super intelligent ones, okay? For to show the king his dream, so they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. He says, listen, guys, astrologers, sorcerers, Chaldeans, I dreamed a dream, and I'm scared. I'm troubled. I need your help. That's why I hired you guys. That's why I pay you guys. Okay? I need your help with this problem. Now hear me. I believe that the God of heaven still uses dreams. I believe he can do that. Okay? I believe he uses them within the body of Christ. I believe God can. Sometimes we're so chaotic in our Christian lives that the only time that God can really speak to us is when we're sleeping. Seriously. We don't give time to listen to God sometimes and seek his face. Now listen, the thing that gets me a little weirded out sometimes when Christians, everything in their life has to do with a dream and a vision. I had a dream, blah, blah, blah. Pastor Matt, tell me the dream and the interpretation thereof. I'm like, I don't know, read your Bible. All right? Seriously. But God can use dreams. God can use visions. He gives them to people, but they got to line up with the Word of God. All right? God's Word is paramount. If God gives someone a dream or a vision, praise the Lord. It'll lend credence to what the Scriptures already say about who God is. All right? Now listen. We know Jacob dreamed a dream. God spoke to him. Peter said, your old men will dream dreams in the book of Acts. God uses these things. God uses these things. He can use these things. But this is what I believe. I believe God will give you more of these the more you fill your mind with the Word of God. See, sometimes we don't think we have faith unless we have a dream or a vision or a this or a that. That's not true. Trust in the Word of God. Fill your mind and your heart and your spirit with God's Word, and then God will give you some of these things. It's Peter talks about it in Acts, to lend credence to what he's already doing in your life. Okay? He calls these people, he calls his cabinet, the Chaldeans, the sorcerers, the astrologers, verse 4. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king and Sirilak, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, we'll show you the interpretation. Okay, makes sense. King, what was the dream? We will interpret it for you. Tell us the dream and we'll tell you what it means, okay? Makes sense. Verse 5. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not, listen, king says, I kind of forgot about it, all right? But the dream troubled me so much, I was so freaked out that it kind of slipped my mind a little bit, okay? Now watch. The king answered to the Chaldeans, it's gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made a dunghill. Basically a pile of junk, a pile of crap. Okay? You guys better tell me the dream and you better tell me the interpretation. This is why you're paid. This is why you guys get to walk around with power over my kingdom, Nebuchadnezzar says. This is why you guys are lifted up above all the people, because you guys are supposed to be the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans. You guys are supposed to know. You guys are the know-it-alls. And I gave you this might, and I gave you this power. I did this for you, so you need to tell me the dream and the interpretation. Or else you guys are dead meat. Verse 6. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts, rewards, great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. Okay? Nebuchadnezzar says, I'll exalt you even more in my kingdom. Now listen, hear me. God is at work behind the scenes in all of this. The Bible says that the Lord, he rules over the nations, okay? He lets one king rise to power and he demotes the other one. Even though that God might not stand for the way they do things, God's still in control of it all for his purposes. The New Testament sheds light on the reasons why God allows these things to happen. And it is basically because he wants people to seek him so they can be saved. That's God's plan. That's God's purpose. God's behind all this. For some reason, God lets Nebuchadnezzar rise to power in Babylon, be basically one of the most powerful empires of all time, and he uses them to judge his people because they started worshiping false gods. God's in control of all this. Nebuchadnezzar tells the Chaldeans, the sorcerers, the astrologers, you guys need to tell me the dream and the interpretation. If you don't, you're dead. And your families. By the way, if it was them, it was their families too, their household. If you do tell it to me, I'll give you more honor, more power in my kingdom. Now watch. They answered, verse 7 again, and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is one decree for you. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, listen, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or any astrologer or any Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requires. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Listen to this. So what do they say? The king goes, you guys are stalling. You guys are stalling. You guys are wasting time. You guys are just stalling because what you're doing is you're trying to lie. You're stalling for time. You're stalling for time so you guys can come up with these words and make these lies up to make me believe something. That's why I'm not telling you what my dream was, because you're going to make up some fake interpretation. Now, the Chaldeans and the astrologers, they're freaked. Their lives are on the line. They say, what you're asking has never been done before. What you're asking, king, has no one has ever done that. No king has ever asked his helpers, his cabinet, his board members, his astrologers, the Chaldeans. No king has ever done this before. Why are you doing this to us, king? We can't do this. What you're asking is impossible. Only a god could do that. You know, when you read your Bible, okay, God often lets things happen, okay? He orchestrates things in our own personal lives as well as corporately, so you're up against a wall so he can be glorified. All right? Now hear me. This will happen in our personal lives. This will happen in our lives corporately as a church. This will happen wherever you go. God will orchestrate things. So you're up against the wall. You're up against the Red Sea, whatever it is. And you start to get a little freaked out. You're like, what am I going to do? You have no choice but to trust in the living God. That's what's going on here in Daniel. That's what's going on here in Daniel. God's letting all this happen so he can raise Daniel up, and so Daniel can give God all the glory. Okay? Think about your own personal lives. Sometimes we fight against this in our lives. We're like, oh, Lord, you know, this is what's going on in my life right now. I'm a little afraid. I'm a little scared. I'm a little freaked out, but I don't know what I'm going to do financially now. I don't want to know what I'm going to do with my kids. I don't know what's going to happen. God's in control of all of that. He will allow things to happen to get you to the back of the Red Sea. Leaning. What are you going to do? Because he wants to show himself strong on your behalf. He wants you to see that he's alive and he's powerful and that he is the living God. That we don't just read words on a page. We read the word of God. Okay? Now hear me. This is what's going on with Daniel. The Chaldeans are freaked out. Their lives are on the line. If they can't tell the king the interpretation of the dream and the dream, they're all done. They said the only people who can do this, king, are the gods. Well, they don't know who the true God is, but Daniel does. Now watch. Verse 12. For this cause the king was angry. He was furious. He commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Now listen, why do they run to Daniel and his three friends? Because Daniel's being trained to be one of these leaders. He's being trained to think with their thought process. But obviously the leadership saw something special in Daniel, okay? So the Chaldeans know their lives on the line. The astrologers know their lives are on the line. And they run up, like, what are we going to do? No one can do what the king's asking. Well, wait a minute. There's this young man that's being trained to be one of us who says he knows the living God, the God of Israel. So let's see if he really knows the God of it. Maybe he could save our lives. Maybe if he, since he's being trained to be one of us, he's not one of us, yes, but since, because what the king was going to do, he was going to wipe all them out, and he was going to wipe all the ones out who were being trained to be them. And he was going to start over afresh. All right? Daniel says, why is it so hasty? Bring me before the king. I'm going to see if the living God can do what he says, Daniel tells him. He goes before the king and he goes, give me some time. I'll tell you the dream and the interpretation. Daniel's standing in the gap, okay, for not only his life and his friends' lives, but all of the leadership's life who actually worship these false gods. Now watch what happens. Daniel went in, verse 16, desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies. Listen, they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Listen, what does Daniel do? He goes and he gets other believers, and what do? They pray. They pray. Daniel runs back. Daniel obviously has in his mind, hey, Daniel, his three friends, we know the true God. God has us here for a reason. God must not want us to be slain right now. We need to seek, what does he say? Mercies of God. Daniel doesn't come and say, you know what? It's not my problem that my forefathers worshiped false gods and that I was taken out, in captivity into Babylon. God, you owe me something. You owe me. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm just a kid. I'm 15 years old. What did I do? It's not my fault. Daniel doesn't do that. Daniel says we need mercy from God. That's what we need, mercy from God. Because God doesn't owe us anything. He gives us everything because of his grace and his mercy. He withholds his judgment on us and he gives us grace instead. That's what Daniel prays for. He gets his three friends and they have a prayer meeting. They're worshiping the true and living God. And they're asking God to be merciful to them. That's what we need to do. You know, think of the circumstances he was in. In a foreign land, watched his country be ransacked and destroyed by a pagan nation more wicked than them. Him and his three friends and others are being trained to have their thought process, even though they didn't let that happen. Think about the circumstances that he's in. And he still seeks the counsel and the mercy of God. What do? Sometimes when the circumstances get difficult in our lives, when they get hard, when they get difficult, we start to whine, we start to complain. We say, God, I've been a Christian for 10 years now. Come on, this isn't fair. This shouldn't happen to me. I thought I was your child. I mean, come on. I gave you my life. This isn't fair. Why did this one do this? Why did that have to happen with my wife, my kids, my job, my dad? Come on, Lord. That's not what Daniel does. He says, whatever happens to us, he says, we deserve, we need to inquire of mercy from God, right? That's what he does with his three friends. And what does God do? He condescends, verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night, what? Vision. Now, what does Daniel do? God reveals to him the secret. God, listen, isn't this amazing? God knows what's going on in every mind on the planet of every person at the same time. The unbelievers as well as the believers. All right? God knew exactly what was going on in Nebuchadnezzar's mind. God knew exactly what was going to happen with Daniel and his three friends. God knew exactly what was going to happen with the Babylonian captivity. God knew it all. God orchestrated it all. He planned it all. Can you ever think about the living God? You ever think about the way the scriptures reveal him? It should boggle your mind, the God that we worship. He knows everything that's going on at the same time. When you're praying over there, and your sister on the other side of the world, or your brother's praying over there, And then we got people dying left and right, dropping into eternity, some lost, some saved. Then we got God involved in every little detail of every life. Listen, I don't believe there's one molecule out there doing something in its own random chance state. I believe, because if there is, then God's not in control of it all, and he's not sovereign. He is sovereign. He's control of it all. He's in control of it all. Now, you ever think, how does God sort all that stuff out at the same time? I don't know. That's what makes him God. That's what makes him worthy of worship and worthy of praise and thanks. That's what makes him God. He reveals the secret to Daniel. Now, look what Daniel does. This is so awesome. You would think there's lives on the line here, okay? Him, his people, the Chaldeans, the astrologers, the sorcerers, they're all going down. You would think he'd run right out. Man, I got to get these people saved. Let me run out. No, he doesn't do that. He stops and he praises God. Watch. Verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep things, the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me now what we've desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Now listen, Daniel stops. He praises God. He gives God the glory. Listen, so many times when God does a work in our lives, we're like, we just go about our business and we forget to give him thanks. So many times God answers prayers in my life. Listen, and I speak this to my shame. I'm praying about something. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months. And I'm like, oh God, your answer to this one must be no or maybe. So I'll just stop praying about it. But then like 3 or 4 months after that, God will answer the prayer. He remembers the prayer request even though I forgot it. He cares about the things that I prayed about more than I do. Okay? He answers the prayer and then I'll remember. Oh, and then I'll just think it's just, you know, daily life and things just kind of happen. Wrong. God did it. You know, I prayed for God to sell my house for 2 years. All right? 2 years. Lord, I need you to sell this house. I want to do more in ministry. I want to be with my kids more, blah, blah, blah. And you know all the mistakes I made. And oh, Lord, every day for 2 years, that was one of my prayer requests. God answers the prayer. I think I thanked him like once, really quick. And then I had to remember after that, a couple months later, Lord, I'm so sorry. I prayed for this, Lord. I didn't even stop to glorify you and thank you and give you praise, honor, and glory. You didn't have to do any of that, Lord. Daniel's so in love with God, he stops. Even though there were lives on the line, he stops and he blesses and he praises God. Remember Jesus with the 10 lepers? You know the story. The 10 lepers come to Christ. Can you make us clean? Can you heal us? He goes, be cleansed. And he goes, go show yourself to the priest. Remember the story in the book of Leviticus? If it was a leper that supposedly was cleansed, he would have to show himself to the priest. They were the doctors of the day too, somewhat. And they would have to pronounce the ritual cleansing process over them if there was no leprosy. Jesus says, don't tell anybody that I did this for you. All 10 of you go, show yourselves to the priest and give them the offering that you should give when a leper is cleansed. What do? 10 of them start running away. Only one comes back. He gets down on his face and he glorifies God and he's thankful. Jesus says, weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Right? He stops and he blesses God. Listen, as God's mercies and his grace comes down, our praise should go up. You know, anybody ever been to Niagara Falls? Okay. Unbelievable. It's like powerful. Just the roar and the rush of the waters. You know, that the mist goes up twice as high as the falls. That the rumbling is in the, it's, you know, the water rushing over the falls and hitting the water is so powerful, but the mist rises twice as high as what the falls are. That should be how it is in our lives with God, with the living God. God's words constantly pouring into us, His love, His grace, and His mercy. We shouldn't help, but you know what? Raise spiritual praise up to God and with thankfulness and thanksgiving for what He's done in our lives. So often we don't do that, though. Daniel does that. Now listen. It says, He reveals the deep and secret things, verse 22. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me what we desired of Thee. You see how specific Daniel was? Stay with me. Hear me now. I know it's early in the morning. We got to get going for this 8 a.m. service. It's going to work out. All right? He says, God, You made known unto me exactly what we asked of You. Sometimes our praises and our prayers are just so general, aren't they? Lord, I pray for this. I pray for the day. I pray for the church. I pray for all the lost people. Save them all. And thank You, Lord. Sometimes we do that, right? Honestly, Daniel's specific because it was a specific need. God will put us in circumstances where this is a specific need, a specific prayer request. God answers a specific prayer request, and then Daniel gives Him praise for it. Listen to this. Remember David with the Ark of the Covenant when he first screwed up? The Ark of the Covenant goes away. You know, remember what happens after it? They get it back and He starts coming back? It says, the scriptures tell us, from all the way from Kirjath-Jearim, if I'm saying that right, to Jerusalem, David stops every 6 steps. All right? Can you picture that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He stops every 6 steps. He offers a sacrifice and he praises God. Now, if I'm one of the priests carrying the thing back, I'm like, come on, David. What are you doing? You're killing me here. Let's switch off. Rotate. Right? But no, David knows that he's screwed up already. And he's so thankful for God's mercy. He can't help but stop and praise Him every 6 steps all the way back to Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Now watch. Verse 24. Therefore Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king hath ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste. Hurry up, Daniel. Let's go. Enough of your praise party. All right? That's what he's telling him. Brings him in haste and said thus unto him, I found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was, remember, they changed their names to their false gods' names, right? To worship their false gods. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded. Now listen to this. I love this about Daniel. He calls him out. He's not afraid to say, everyone else is wrong, but the living God is right. Daniel says, let me just set the groundwork here. Let me just tell you something before I do this for you, king. He says, listen, he answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? You see what Daniel says? Now, Daniel didn't have to do that. He could have came right into the king. He could have came right into the king and said, yes, I can do that. He said, king, I just want you to know that your priestly entourage here, those who help you out, that know the times and the seasons of your kingdom, they can't do it for you. But there's a God in heaven. That's what he says. Listen, when you live for the true and living God, when you live for Jesus Christ, you know what? People are going to watch you go through trials and circumstances. They're going to look at you and they're going to say, there's something different about you. And then when they go through things in their life, they're going to run for your aid and your help, just like they ran for Daniel, right? They needed his help. But you can't be afraid to look at them when the time comes and says, listen, you know what? Your meeting ain't doing it for you. Your this is not doing it for you. Your group is not doing it for you. Okay? Your false gods ain't doing it for you. Your bank account ain't working out for you. Whatever it is, it's not working. But there's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven. Now listen to me. You hear me say this all the time, and it's so true. If this book is not real, and if Jesus isn't the living God, then I'm just giving it all up. It's either Jesus or nothing else for me. Either God can do what he says or he cannot, and he's a liar. He's not a liar. The Bible says everyone else is a liar, but God is true. What time we got here? I'm just getting going here. Okay. All right. Last verse. I'm sorry. Daniel says, look at what he does. He gives God the glory. He says, but there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed are these. And then he interprets the dream and he tells him the dream. And that's where we'll pick it up next week. Read ahead, please. Read ahead. There's very important stuff here. Especially, listen, if you have time, do a little study on verse 42, 43, and 44. It's this very interesting stuff that goes on there. And I think we live in that day and age. It actually hooks together with the days of Noah and Genesis 6, okay? It's really interesting stuff. But look what Daniel does here, okay? He gives God all the glory. He gives God all the glory, all the majesty, all the might, all the power. He doesn't say, the king says, are you able to do this? Daniel doesn't come out and say, yeah, I can do this. I can do it. He says, no, I can't do it, but there's a God in heaven that can do it. Listen, if you lift up God, if you lift up Jesus Christ, if you give him the glory, God will give you more opportunity to give him the glory.